A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Wait, are you gaming? On a Chromebook?
Yep. It's got a high-res 120Hz display, plus this killer RGB keyboard, and I can access thousands of games anytime, anywhere.
Stop playing.
What?
Get out of here.
Huh?
Yeah, I want you to stop playing and get out of here so I can game on that Chromebook.
Got it.
Go ahead, break it down, really. Discover the ultimate cloud gaming machine, a new kind of Chromebook.
We want to thank Factor for sponsoring Play Retro. Factor delivers delicious, fresh, never frozen meals that are ready to heat and eat in 2 minutes. Head to factormeals.com/retro50 and use the code retro50 to get 50% off your first box.
This is the story of Earth's Worm Jim video game. In outer space, a sweet evil cyborg lost a queen cyberspace suit. Well, it smooshes.
Why not a slimy Earthworm Jim? And blammo, he becomes a superpowered hero. He takes out that precious dog. Then that stupid worm goes onto the planet. He even tries mucus
bungee jumping. And if that doesn't stop him, maybe the battle with Queen Festering Sweaty Slug for a Butt will. Earthworm Jim from Playmates.
Oh my gosh.
Oh, it's what kind of butt? Oh.
Greetings and welcome to Play Retro. I'm your host, or one of them, and my name's Scott Johnson. And if you're telling me I could spend the rest of my entire life using discarded tires to bounce all over the place, well, then we have an accord.
Oh, Honda? And I'm your other host, Brian Dunaway. And my 90s gamer handle would have been What's-His-Face with Butts for Hands, because I suck at platforming with this super spacesuit-wearing dirt wiggler. It would be better to just sit on the controller and gyrate. Now excuse me while I pull out the rocket in my pocket and head off to the next level. Yippee groovy.
Yeah, yippee groovy. Yippee groovy.
Yippee groovy.
If none of that was familiar, or that indiscernible commercial was any indication,
what
or
you
not
couldn't see was grandma was eating earthworms.
Yeah, she was eating mouthful of nasty looking earthworms, which obviously weren't real, but it didn't matter. Grossed me out at the time.
Are you sure?
Yeah, pretty sure grandma, I'm pretty sure whatever actress that is said, hey, can these be gummy or rubber or something?
Right. So you don't think she was on Fear Factor? Was that out that point in time?
No, that was way later. That was like early 2000s, wasn't it? Like 01, 02, something like that. I don't know.
It's gross, though. I know that.
It's back when Joe Rogan had hair.
Oh.
Yeah, you might.
They should have a conscience.
They should have called him then. They should have called him Joe Rogan.
Joe, that's not nice.
Yeah, whatever, man. Hair.
I can't say it's not true.
Yeah, you can't say it's not true, can you? You can't.
You can't.
Anyway, we're here. We got stuff to do and talk about. We're going to talk about Earthworm Jim and its impact in the 16-bit era and why we don't have anything now, which it bums me out to this day.
Yeah.
We'll get to it. We learned a little bit about why that is. In the meantime, I also learned something. I have held a grudge for years about a thing that's not true. I'll spill the beans soon enough, but it's a thing that I thought was, I was told and I just believed.
Right.
And then in this process and working with Brian on this, I was wrong the whole time. I was totally wrong.
Oh, your hate was misdirected?
Yeah, I wouldn't even say hate. My disappointment and my feelings of like, oh man, why you got to go and do that? We're pointed at the wrong dude.
Yeah.
And it was a simple misunderstanding. So we'll get to it. That'll all make sense in a minute. Before all of that, though, I want to share something with you guys that I think is rad. So Brian, you're familiar with Cyberpunk 2077, relatively new
game. Oh boy, am I ever. Yeah, that was a lot of fun.
Yeah, I liked it.
You want my PS4 copy?
Sure. No, don't give me that. Give me the PC version because it's good. I like that,
bro. Yeah, it is now.
Yeah, and the Series X and the PS5 versions are fine too. But anyway, I was just dinking around online, and this is a couple years old, so maybe people have seen this, but I just thought it was a retro fun time and I wanted to share it. Somebody made a PS1 era looking version of Cyberpunk 2077, and it is delightfully bad in the way that you would expect from a game from that time. Like, this would have been amazing in the time. Actually,
was that Virgin Interactive on one of those billboards up there? How appropriate.
Probably
for what we're doing today.
Probably. Who knows? Oh, look, it's fine. there's Keanu Reeves, low poly Keanu Reeves talking.
Oh my god, with a long neck.
Yeah,
I love
a long
it.
Neck. That's what you get. Anyway, it is. They were making fun of it and saying, "Oh, look how glitchy it is" and stuff. But it's great, and I really like it. So go search for PS1 Cyberpunk 2077 and just be delighted as an old school gamer, and you'll find that video. All right, and Chad, I just put it in the chat so you can see it if you want to. Brian, what have you been up to? You've been busy?
Oh, my.
Yeah?
Oh, I've been doing so much last. I can't figure out what I'm going to show you first. Well, I'm going to show you this first.
Show me yours.
I got a little show and tell, and I'll do a little show and describe as we do this.
Okay.
All right. So I've got my, I've been doing the 3D printing for my retro stuff, and I've got my silver GameCube here with no Game Boy player, but it's just like that. And so there's this gravity-defying thing that you could for display purposes. So look at this thing. How nervous does this make you?
Already like very
little,
nervous.
Can you see it? It's like this little on a side square.
On Futurama they got Madison's cubed garden.
Yeah.
That's what this reminds me of right here. Yeah. Is what reminds me.
That's a good description.
Yeah.
So there's like this. So I got my GameCube and it's set up like at an angle. And it sits on top of this other cube, and it doesn't look like it should work, but it does on a shelf. I'm kind of nervous about doing it right here, but yeah, it actually works pretty good. But I 3D printed this little. It's one of the reasons why I got this stupid 3D printer because I saw this stupid print for this thing, and literally, it's like, what is it like? Just imagine the corner of a GameCube. Just like one small corner, and that's what it's sitting on. It's like this little platform. It stands on its own. And it's got like a little Velcro attachment on the back. So I don't know why, because its base stand is it. It fell.
Oh, it did. But did it fall?
Not, yeah. Well, I just dropped it.
Oh.
I dropped the stand.
The stand. Okay. So basically, what you've done there is you create a little art piece out of your GameCube, right?
Exactly,
I don't know why I'm playing this Daytona music. I don't know what I was thinking. They didn't even have Daytona on there, but I just was looking for something to have in the background. But anyway, that thing looks like some kind of little art piece. That is how I would display. I'm never going to plug my GameCube in. Right. I'm done. Plus, it's broken. It won't run. But because some kid dropped a TV on it. Long story.
Oh my god.
Neighbor kid. Anyway, the point is, if I was going to keep my GameCube in any kind of condition, that's how I'd do it. In fact, I should talk to you about making a little blue one because I got the blue.
Oh yeah,
I got the blue.
You got a little blue color one, absolutely. Because I'm making some more of these. I might make some adjustments to this design too. It allows remixes and things. But it's really cool. I love to be able to display my GameCube at like an angle because it's kind of, when it's in your room, it's not that impressive, especially sitting at eye level because it's like a box. But then if you flip it on this, like almost isometric view, it's like, oh, dude, that is sweet. But I will have to get a WaveBird controller for this thing.
Oh,
I don't think I'd feel comfortable being plugged in with a
That changes the weight distribution if you plug shit into it.
It does. I'm like, ooh, that would be dangerous. I don't think I want to do that. So I'm pretty excited about that. I'm going to print another one as well because I got a GameCube. It's a black one with a Game Boy player, which is coming up this year. We're going to do some Game Boy games. I can feel it.
Ooh.
But as an update to last week when we played those top-down racers, and I wanted a steering wheel for my arcade, my fight stick, for my Atari fight stick. And so I ordered this off Game Room Solutions. It's called something else now. It's TS Ticks or something
like
that.
For those at home, this looks like a little spinny knob on top of a little mount or something. But the idea is that you'd put a wheel around that, and now you've got your spinny wheel. Yeah.
Yeah, so this is the spinning knob. Like you would play all those old school games that would have spinning knobs, except this is a very nice, chunky, large piece of stainless steel.
Do you feel like the ball bearings in there and all that?
It's got its little plug, so I just plugged that right into my Atari Fight Stick, I think. And then I also got the attachment.
Yeah. Let's see that. Let's see your attachment.
I got the steering wheel.
Oh, look at this.
Here's
shit.
The steering wheel. And it's just a basic ass steering wheel, just like you used to play with the Super Off-Road and stuff. And let me see if I can pull it out of the box.
So this thing will, I've seen those before. That thing must work on a bunch of different models or something. That steering wheel. Yeah.
So then you got your little steering wheel.
Oh, that's look all at this.
Just a basic, it's just a basic bad boy steering wheel. And you plug it into your little spinner wheel, and you can either play spinner games or you can play some race games.
Dude,
like Super Off-Road Racing.
I'm completely jealous of that. That's really
cool. I'm going to mount this thing to the front of my, because you can pull it off too. So it's kind of like, you know, it's like a real racing wheel. Like
you're supposed to be able to take those off. Yeah. Like in Mad Max, they're like, they do the whole thing, which by the way, when they do this in Mad Max, I don't know if you knew this, check out my video. When they put their hands together over their head like this, you just think, oh, they're doing like some kind of praise thing, you know, some kind of weird culty, whatever, the war boys. I found out, you know what this is? This is supposed to represent a V8 engine.
Oh, yep. That makes sense, because you used to have that symbol on the V8 engine because it had to be slanted at a 45 degree.
Plus you got the little piston sticking out of it. Yep, cylinders out of there. Pretty cool.
Yeah.
Anyway.
But this is way cool. It's heavy duty, it's heavy and weighty, just like you would have with those old steering wheels. And you just spin them around.
You're a gigantic nerd, and I love it. How much did all that cost? The wheel and the wheel, those two pieces together, how much?
These two pieces total, I think, from TS Ticks was $75 total.
It's not bad.
And I just plugged, since I already got the Atari Fight Stick, I'm gonna plug it into that. I may just like attach it to the front. I haven't decided exactly how I'm going to do it. Maybe I'll figure it out. But it's going to be cool because I've been wanting to get a spinner wheel, but there wasn't enough games that interested me to get one. I was like, there's a few games I wouldn't mind playing with a spinner, but I don't know if there'd be that many. But then we did the top-down races. I was like, oh, now I've got a slew of games I can play.
Even if all you did was plug that into Super Sprint and Super Off-Road, you'd be happy.
Totally worth it.
Yeah.
Totally worth it.
I'm jealous. That's rad.
I might have to get a second one so you can come over and play.
Okay, I'll be right over. Yeah. I wish we were neighbors. We'd act like kids. Our wives would hate us. Oh, my gosh.
We already act like kids, but we'd be out in the real world instead of locked in our rooms like a bunch of
our significant trolls. Ladies would be like, you guys, really? Are you going? What are you doing this afternoon? Oh, we're going to go try these wheels out and see if Super Sprint holds up. What's Super Sprint? Don't worry about it. I'll see you later, click. That's how
and
that
then
would
we
go.
Were like, spin. And this guy was like, no, look out, man.
Yep. We get a big old fat slice of pizza from Sparrow on my way over. Oh, man. That's amazing, dude. That's very cool. We will. You may want to video some of that and put it up on the Patreon because that's rad.
Totally going to do that. And hopefully we get to that this weekend. And maybe I'll 3D print that GameCube this weekend to the GameCube stand for you and send it out.
Love it. All right. Well, while we're busy doing that, we are going to talk about our main topic today. It involves worms and the name Jim.
Shall we play a game?
That game is Earthworm Jim. 3D, a special edition here or there. There's also like a version of 2 that's a big fancy 32-bit upgrade. There's a bunch of them. But you might ask yourself, how come it all ended there? Why don't we have Earthworm Jim games today? Well, there's a story, but let's get to the first game before we go anywhere else. This is what that sounded like. Oh, and I love this part of the game, this beginning here, right here. I may have added the fart. I'm just saying.
I would have never have guessed you had the fart. Actually, it's actually that's
that may have been
appropriate.
Me. But then the real music happens. Here you go. Chaos ensues. The most '90s ass freaking side scrolling, gun sputtering, goofy Mega Drive Genesis having SNES a little bit later looking game you've ever seen in your life. I mean, like, to me, this game in some ways is the epitome of that generation.
Absolutely. If you watched Saturday morning cartoons in the 90s where you were watching, was it even Saturday morning? I forget. I think Saturday night, like Ren and Stimpy, any of that Nickelodeon blocks or any of that kind of stuff. Or if you ever watched any Beavis and Butthead or you played any Beavis and Butthead games, you're like, wait a minute. It was like this just came to life. Like my cartoons just came to life.
Yeah, very much an early staple 90s kind of vibe to it. And you were basically a worm, and your name is Jim, and you're side scrolling, and they don't set anything up. You just start. You just start running. You're the guy. You start shooting shit. You don't have to wait around for much to happen. You just start playing this game. And
you can read the manual if you wanted to. There's a little backstory about how you're a worm, kind of essentially doing your wormy things. And then this super spacesuit falls from outer space because there's a battle. And some of the story is revealed later on where that suit actually came from. But you definitely will learn all of it if you listen to the theme song to the Earthworm Jim cartoon, which was shortly coming.
Yeah, and you should, as a player, you should see it and immediately go, oh, why does this remind me of, like, Aladdin and a few other platformers at the time?
Yeah.
And the reason that is because directly involvement by the people who made it. But also, this is just that time, man. And if I have a complaint about the Earthworm Jim games, it's this. It's just labyrinthian in its side-scrolling. It's not a simple let's go left to right Mario style. It's a
no.
Let's go left for a minute. Let's go right for a minute. Let's go underneath this thing. Let's go into this almost imperceivably dark hole that you don't even know how to get in there for a long time. Like, the game is super into putting you in kind of cavernous spaces. And having it all look like, oh, wait, I should be able to go through. Oh, no, that's not a hole. Okay, well, wait, where's the hole then? Yeah. That kind
David
of stuff.
David Perry is a master at this. And this is the same engine they used for, I guess they said the same engine. So I'm assuming most of that is just written in David Perry's head, who worked on Cool Spot and Aladdin, all these side-scrolling platformers that we loved. And he continued it here, and it fits so perfectly with the obtuse, you know, storytelling, this going on, this weirdness. It really makes you feel, even the gameplay is like, oh, you don't just go straight here. You got to jump around and do these different things. You never can get settled in, right? There's not like rhythm usually in these Earthworm Jim games, which is actually would actually be bad in a lot of ways. But here it works.
I think it works pretty well. I think it is a thing of its time, though. I played a bunch of, as you did as well, I played a bunch of this in the last couple of days, one and two mostly. Especially did not play that GBA game. We'll talk about why that's terrible. Yeah. But I played a whole bunch of it, and I think that my notions of what a good platformer are have changed. A little too much, because the game is of its era, and there are things that are needlessly complex and things that are maybe needlessly too simple, and we've just gotten better at that stuff over the years.
Absolutely.
So
this is a stepping stone for sure.
Wouldn't you love it if they just tomorrow they said, hey, Dave Perry's making a new one. How's everyone feel about that? I would be stoked. You know?
I would be stoked, and you know, this kind of we can go ahead and talk about it now. So there has been an Earthworm Jim 4 that's been for a long time being talked about, being made, and it's been most recently tied into the Intellivision Amico, which is that Intellivision properties. Whatever, it's been having a lot of trouble.
Vaporware console potential thing. Yeah,
this pretty much failed out. They haven't officially announced that this isn't going to happen, but this isn't going to happen. Their backup plan right now, the last thing I read from like a couple weeks ago, was they sent a letter out to some of their supporters, and so they were refunding some things, and then they were to move forward, they were going to license out some of their IPs, which kind of had me interested, because I was like, what? Do you mean like one of the IPs you probably shouldn't even have, you big jerk?
Yeah.
Earthworm Jim.
They shouldn't have
Dave it. David Perry made a big bad mistake back in the day and let that property slip into other hands. He should have held on tight. Regardless of what happened to Shiny, he should have held on tight to Earthworm
Jim. And he says as much. He regrets it. He says the biggest mistake he ever made was selling the property, or selling the IP to Interplay. Yeah. He made good money, and it made him be able to go on to do what he wanted to do next and everything.
MDK. But
that thing. But he that might need its own show. I don't know. It's too new. But anyway, he regretted it. He said it was a mistake, and I agree with him. You could easily be making high selling versions of Earthworm Jim qualities platformer or 3D game, whatever you wanted to do. Steam would have a whole group of these by now. You'd be sitting pretty. People buy these on their Switch. That's what would happen. But they didn't do it.
He sold the most valuable possession they had, which was this intellectual property that people loved, because he was in love with the idea of the culture of the time of the early 90s, like John Kay, who was doing Ren and Stimpy, a lot of these independent artists and creators, game designers, were all finding success outside of corporate stuff where they had all been locked in with, you know, stupid crap that they didn't want to do. And so suddenly they found themselves free to do whatever the crap they wanted to do. And one of the high ideals they had was to, like John Kay would be like, don't use the same animation, you know, in a row. You got to have, you go over and over. You got to have totally completely new animation stuff, which is fine, but it really put them behind on production. Same here with David Perry. He said, no sequels moving forward. Mm. So he said, we don't need Earthworm Jim and Let It Go. Mm. It's a great high ideal, but you got to hold on to the most valuable part of your property if you want to keep working.
Yeah, and he hasn't worked in games in a long time. 2005 was the last time he did anything meaningful in games. Well, I shouldn't say that. He does a lot of games adjacent stuff. You know, you've all at home heard the term Gaikai. That's the underlying technology and former name of the technology that Sony uses to stream PS3 games or PSP games to you on some of their tiers. That's Dave Perry, and they bought it. Yeah. They bought him out. Super smart guy, lots of great ideas. It's doing just fine. But even recently has said, oh, I wish I had that IP. I'd do something.
Yeah, because that was where that was a time when they were clicking, and you do that as an artist. You do. You have something clicking and everything seems to be working well. And all you're imagining is the next project. And what you don't realize sometimes is this may be the last touch that you'll have with, you know, the public.
Yeah.
Because everything else you do may never click. It may never spark.
Everything like else was just kind of he's famous for one weird thing. He was working with Michael Jackson at the time of Jackson's death to create a brand new game. So right before Jackson died in 2016,
right,
he was hanging with him trying to come up with a new Michael Jackson plan for games. And then obviously what happened there didn't make that possible. But, you know, he's been back there working away on stuff, this Irish-born brilliant programmer turned business tycoon. But Earthworm Jim might be still his most famous thing.
I absolutely. Now, for us, it's probably a cool spot because we've talked about it so much. But, this is definitely, like, the number one thing that people mostly ascribe to him. So I want to see this have a happy ending. I want to see a place where this Intellivision Amico, just call it out. Just this is out. It's just done, man. Mm-hmm. This Intellivision Amico, it's not working out.
Just accept your loss, guys.
Accept it. Find a way to get Earthworm Jim back into David Perry's hands and stop holding Earthworm Jim hostage. Stop it.
Yes. Especially after that horrible GBA version of the game. We need to have a little moment of silence for this piece of garbage. It's such a bad port. I just wanted to mention it because it's just worth mentioning. You may not know it by looking at it. You should be able to because, boy, the lack of animation frames alone.
Yes.
When they didn't need to. Clearly, that device was very capable of not only reproducing what the SNES and the Genesis were doing, but improving on it. And they just, it was garbage. So bad.
Yeah. And again, what's sad is the Mike Dietz, the animator, who also did worked with David Perry many times before, working on like Aladdin and different things. They used 2D animation, and then they brought that into the computer. And the Genesis was the perfect thing for that, for how they were doing it, because Genesis can display quickly a lot of sprites on screen, and so they had it easy going in, as easy as you could make it anyway, at the time making this game, and it was perfectly at home at the Genesis. And then they made the SNES version, but they also made this Game Boy Advance thing. They didn't make it, I'm sorry, another developer made this thing, and they just didn't get
should have been no problem. It should have been fine. We're talking like 2000 and when that came out, 04?
Yeah. I would think that the GBA, from everything that I've seen from the GBA, I love it. I think it's got some of the best titles I've ever seen on any system ever.
Yeah.
However.
And some of the best ports. Some of the best Genesis SNES era ports are on that thing. There's no reason this had to be that bad.
No, thousands mistake. Of frames of animation is what we're talking about here in Earthworm Jim, and we're probably looking at like three.
It's really embarrassing.
It's not that bad, but it's still pretty bad. It's pretty rough.
Brian was talking about it earlier, and I'm like, oh, I thought that one was good. And what I was thinking of was not that. That's not the game I played.
That's not.
But I did play this one, which sounded a little better. Check this out. All right. As you can hear, here's a little combat. The sequel, the follow-up, Earthworm Jim 2, a little more bombastic, a little louder.
Yeah, yeah.
A little less subdued. A little than the prior game.
So now this is now are you listening to the special edition, or are you moved on to Earthworm Jim?
That's
2?
Earthworm Jim. We'll get to special in a second. I kind of put it backwards, okay. But this one has. Yeah. This one is, what am I trying to say? This was originally also on Genesis and Super Nintendo at that point, simultaneous, I think, right?
Yeah, they planned this one out, part two, to go to both consoles after the success with porting to every freaking console in the universe in the first one. So
yeah,
they knew what they wanted this time.
And I love some of the mechanics. We're looking right now at this thing where if he shoots dirt,
right,
he creates... ground, or he shoots dirt that's like up in the ceiling. It comes down and adds to the ground dirt, which makes him be able to get to taller, higher positions because of that. That's really weird looking for an old game like this. Like
it is. Yeah, it's kind of like Dig Dug or something. This is level two called Lorenzen's Soul.
Yeah.
Soil.
Lorenzo's Soil, like but, oil. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, but what it's like you said, he's Earthworm Jim now. Instead of whipping his head, he's got snot with him.
Yeah.
All new animations, and he is blasting his way through dirt. And right now, he's fighting ants to save some babies. But there's each level basically has
he's fighting ants to save some babies. I just want to pause on that for a second. What a dumb thing to hear, but it's great. That is what
right. It's true. It's true. And so each level of this game has like a gimmick, kind of like Cool Spot did back in the day. But yes, so it's not all like this. This is more time based, where you have only one weapon. You don't have a multitude.
Yeah, multitude. Sure.
We didn't have multiple. Weapons. You just had the one, which was the Earth Eater, I suppose. Whatever this is.
Yeah, but that made it unique because the first game was, you know, you used that pistol a lot, and this game's like, hey, what if you had other stuff? Which is why I think it would do really well today. There's so many creative ways you could take even a 2D platformer these days. Right. I'm reminded of those. I know you don't like Rayman as a character, but those newer Rayman games are amazing. They're so good.
I think we oversell the fact that the problem with Rayman is the fact that I can't stand that he doesn't have, you know, actual legs and arms. He just has hands and feet. I'm like, I mean, legs and arms are literally like two lines in art. I mean, it's literally like it's just parallel lines. It's super easy. I don't understand why they can't do it. But then I'm okay with a worm who's wearing a super space suit. And I guess he's controlling it with his mind. Is that how that works? Mm-hmm. There's some kind of space energy?
Basically, yeah. Now, what drove the the fact that they wanted to do this special edition in 95? Was it the fact that they were like, hey, what if we had real sound in this next one?
Well, the thing. Yes, so Earthworm Jim came out in 94, and then the special edition in 95, they were still trying to port it some places. You got to remember, 1995, we're now seeing the PlayStation coming about. We're seeing these new systems. Well, we had the Sega CD before we get there, so we got the Sega CD we can use and the Windows 95, which means you can use what's called Redbook Audio, which sounds freaking amazing. I don't know if you have the ability or have queued up.
I do right here. You want to hear it?
The original audio music versus the new audio music, but oh my God. Yeah. I mean, it's the CD. It's real orchestrated music.
So here, listen to the difference here. So you have this on Genesis. Oops. Right, crusty. Just kind of crusty and gross, right? No. But then you got this. Wow. So, you know, obviously a little more fidelity and quality and all that. It's definitely
an upgrade. We're using CDs, so we've got multimedia finally. So we're doing that, and we got all new backgrounds for the game, some improved graphics. I think even an extra level, maybe. I'm trying to remember. I think there's some extra What was it like? Those remix CD audio soundtrack and 1,000 more frames of in-game animation.
That part is very noticeable. You can see the increase in animation almost immediately.
Yeah, and I would be so excited about this back in the day.
Yeah, I was too. I remember being only slightly crestfallen when I played it because I was like, oh, it's that first game I played the shit out of, and it does look better, but it's really just that again. So if you played that to death, you know, you're kind of played it. You're kind of done.
Right. Yeah. You get like you get an extra little level there and some more animation and some nice audio. And that's pretty much it. But did you see the one where they released this one through the Sega channel as well. But there was like they had a contest as well called the Great Earthworm Gym Race. Mm-mm. And it was just it had a secret room. And you had to find the room, and the first 200 players who found it, you get a password. Well, I guess everybody get a password, but the first 200 people that got the password and then called the toll-free number, they were awarded prizes.
Oh, like wow.
Artwork of Earthworm Jim, and also from the toy line, which is what started this whole thing to begin with. Playmate was still, you know, enjoying their Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle deal.
Yeah.
And they wanted more, and that's what prompted them to give money to start Shiny and to create their own IP here. So,
And it could have been. Well, I think there were attempts at cartoons, weren't there? I kind of remember
there something. There was a cartoon of this.
Yeah.
Earthworm Jim, 95 and 96, I believe. Two seasons worth of Earthworm Jim, which had an amazing acapella intro, if you've ever get a chance to listen to it.
Tells you a little story
about Earthworm Jim. So
hold on a second. I got
no music at all. It's just
I need to hear this business. This is
Earthworm Jim cartoon intro. I think is probably going to get you there. The fastest. I should have probably put that in there.
No. It's all good. All right. So here we go. I'm going to play a little bit of this chat. You guys can hear it as well. Let's see. GR intro. I'm not sure what GR means, but here it is. Oh, whoops. The soil heat. Let me go back. The soil heat did crawl.
A super suit did fall. Jim was just a dirty. I've heard without music. This is good too.
Oh, is this different?
That's probably the official one. He rockets through the sky, cruising through the universe, having lots of fun. Here comes Earthworm Jim. You know that he's a mighty one.
You know what? I kind of want to watch this cartoon now, and I don't know why. It looks super dumb.
If you like the Animaniacs and that kind of stuff from that time frame, this is for you. This is for you.
Here's another intro. Is this the one? Oh my gosh, not that.
Which one did I hear today? It had no music at all.
Despite his great big muscles and his really big ray gun, Jim is still an earthworm, but then he's the only one.
Now, that's the way I remember it.
Okay.
But the one I heard today was no music. So, interesting. Okay.
Yeah, interesting. Let's
see if I can find it.
All right. I would watch that just to get it out of my life, you know, never watch it again.
Yeah, yeah. So, you could say that you've seen the Earthworm Jim.
Yeah, but the attempt was there to, like, go nuts and create a thing and make it big. And they tried. They tried real hard.
Yeah.
And I think they just... I don't know. The 90s were a crowded mascot video game time.
Right.
And if you wanted to get noticed and be the hot new thing, boy, you had to fight against some big juggernaut stuff like Sonic and Mario and many more after that. And if you wanted to, you know, to go from zero to massive merch, gigantic thing, you could try, but you probably ended up like Earthworm Jim. You had a nice attempt. A lot of money was spent. But it ended up not really working out in the end.
And that's what ended up, it seemed like every time I was reading stories about Earthworm Jim, David Perry, Doug Tenapple, I'm always saying it wrong, Tenapple.
He's the one that's in trouble, by the way. So, let me get the opening thing of the show out of my head real quick. I have for years and years and years and years, I was told once that Dave Perry did some mean, nasty stuff. And I didn't even know what it was. It was like harassment or it was something. This was years ago, forever ago.
Right, right.
And I had that in my head the whole time. So anytime any conversation about Dave Perry came up, I'm like, oh, such too bad that he turned out to be such a turd. And I just had this in my head.
Yeah.
I got the wrong guy.
Yeah.
It's this
turd. Because you probably heard because the headlines usually read, creator of Earthworm Jim.
Yeah. I assigned it to him.
Is in hot water again, or has
because he was. It wasn't just once. It was like a bunch of times. There were some podcast episodes that came out. There was like all this stuff,
right?
And every time I'd go, "Oh, creator of Earthworm Jim, Dave Perry, what are you doing?" Nope.
Right.
Is this other turd pole guy, whatever his name is? What's his name?
Doug Tenapple.
Tenapple.
Tenapple is T-E-N-N-A-P-E-L.
He's in a little trouble right now.
It's weird because if you read interviews with a lot of people, it's like people always have nice things to say about him. But then he has his online persona, which is kind of like the puppy, the Jekyll and Hyde that's in the Earthworm Jim.
Oh, the one that changes into a big.
He's kind of like him. It's like Peter Puppy is like him in real life because everybody interviews like, oh yeah, he's a nice guy. He'll do anything for you, blah, blah, blah. But then, you know, he gets online and he's all like, he gets
rotten. We don't want to get into specifics because we don't care to air his specifics, but it gets a little rotten. And so I just want to say there's a lesson in this. The lesson is get your facts straight or else you may have an idea in your head and you hold it for years that is just wrong. And I had mine just factually incorrect. So I feel stupid about it. But
it's a fair point, though, because I was thinking about this the other day. And this is not really retro as much as just me thinking. But I'm like, you know what the problem is with Twitter? And maybe, you know, I'm kind of annoyed that they're going with more characters and stuff. But I do know that the appeal of Twitter for the longest time for me was sometimes I just like to read the headlines.
Yeah.
Even if I don't click on anything, I feel like I've learned something if I just read the headlines. And Twitter was really good about just giving you the hot points.
Yeah.
And I'm sure I probably did the same thing, too. It probably said, creator of Earthworm Jim, you know, does something turdy. And then I went, oh, David Perry, you know. Mm-hmm. And that's on me for reading headlines to begin with. I shouldn't. Matter of fact, you know what? I'm not even blaming myself because Twitter's really bad about just giving me those headlines, even when I'm not looking for them. They're on my sidebar over there while I'm trying to read my nice, friendly post from people. And over on the right-hand side, it's like I said, Earthworm Jim, butthole, or, you know, butt for head.
Butt for head.
Butt for head.
I like
and
that.
I'm like, ah.
Yeah, it's annoying. But anyway, I'm over it now. I'm over it, everybody. I'm over it.
Yeah. So David Perry, as far as we know, he seems to be an okay guy.
Yeah, he seems fine.
Yeah.
He seems fine. Yeah. We're not going to make assumptions about anybody, up or down. All right? Well,
plus, if I thought that Earthworm Jim was completely, and I looked a little bit before I started doing the Earthworm Jim, if I thought it was just all Doug Tenapple, if I thought it was all his effort, I probably would go, we'll probably skip this one.
Yeah.
But considering how, you know, this 10 people or more of hugely, monumental talent, all the way from Mike Deese, the animator who brought Earthworm Jim to life, Tommy Tallarico, I believe it is, who has just like this amazing music for Earthworm Jim, David Perry, who just wanted a great level designer, platforming, designing guy. There's just a ton of great talent here.
Plus, you don't even need these people. What you need is ownership of the IP, and then you have some amazing, talented indie team that already makes amazing, polished side scrollers. They've got multiple awesome things under their belt. You give it to them, they build the game. Everybody's happy. That's what you do.
Happy.
And you can tell Tenapple don't come in. Hey, Tenapple,
don't come in. Don't come in.
Stay over there.
Once again, like I said, I don't know any of these people. All I know is what I've read on the internet. And I know that just about everybody is a butthole on Twitter. And so
it's part of being on Twitter, being a butthole.
I'm sure he's a butthole. It's like I said, I'm not excusing him for what he did. Cause if you're offended by what he did, you should be offended. If he hurt your feelings, you should feel that way. You should be mad at him. Absolutely agree.
Sure. Why not?
Absolutely.
But I'm just saying, keep him out of the room. Go ahead and make your game.
Yeah, keep him out of the room.
He's got his money. He'll get his money. If he's still got a stake in it, he'll get his money.
I don't think any of these people are getting any money at all, to be honest with you. I don't know what happened. These guys were really good at creating stuff, but I don't think they were the best business people because it seemed like every time I was reading this story, it was always a dead end. It's like, David finally got Earthworm Jim back in his hands. This company just didn't have any. They were out of money. Atari was out of money. Oh, no. Or this person got bought out. And it's like, oh, it's just That was the story of their lives.
Dave Perry's got all that Geico money. However you say it.
Yeah, Geico money. Yeah. I don't even know. Is there money in that? Did he make a good deal there?
He sold that to Sony for many millions.
Yeah.
So he's fine.
He's fine.
And he may then not just, be in that then big of a
rush. Go wrestle that Earthworm Jim back from Intellivision Amico. It's freaking, they're desperate right now.
Yeah, they got it in that freaking fire sale they had for Interplay, right? Where everybody bought everything at like totally low prices. He should have bought it then. Maybe you couldn't then. I don't know.
Yeah.
But Interplay, man. I forgot how much Interplay was doing. They had back when Blizzard was called Silicon and Synapse, before they were called Blizzard, they were publishing everything they were doing on consoles. That was all Interplay. Interplay was big.
Yeah. Interplay was huge, which is kind of what disappoints me the most. I'm like, oh no, you sold Earthworm Jim to basically the EA of the time, maybe not that big, but still. Yeah. It's just like, oh no, they're not gonna take care of Jim. And sure enough, they didn't take care of, they took care of Jim.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's true. Speaking of taking care of things, Earthworm Jim 2, the 32-bit version of that, which came out on DOS, Saturn, and PSX, was a little weird. It had all the other enhancements except for that Lorenzo soil level thing.
Yeah.
It's in every other version of the game. It's not in that one. Why?
Right. And this is a better, just like we had talked about with the special edition, this is essentially the special edition of Earthworm Jim 2.
Yeah.
And it came to the PlayStation only in Europe. We didn't get it here in the US. We did get the Saturn version, and I did look at the Saturn version. Oh my God, it looks really freaking good. Mm-hmm. I almost felt gypped that I played it on the Genesis. But it pretty much plays the same, other than, once again, we get the Red Book audio, a little more animation, but we lose out on the Lorenzo soil, which is one of the I think is a lot of fun. I really like it. I don't know why they couldn't make that part work, but they just didn't make it work.
I agree. I especially like this mini game where you got to put a bunch of pigs on a platform and make the weight go down. Isn't that great?
There's a lot of farm stuff, farm humor in this second Earthworm Jim, and you end up carrying a lot of farm animals like pigs to solve environmental puzzles. Cows later on. Cows play a big part in the Earthworm Jim series, if you've never noticed. Like in between screens, when you're going from one level to the next, you'll get these couple of cows standing around, and they'll tell you you're doing it. You had a good job.
It's very absurdist.
It's weird.
It's ridiculous.
Yeah, very absurdist.
Yeah,
you're right.
And like you said, it's that era, especially the John Kay sort of, you know, Ren and Stimpy era. Although, let's not talk about John Kay. He's got his own issues. What is it with the animators, like brilliant, smart animators? Why do the guy, why is him, Justin Roiland now? Like, what a mess. Cut it out, you guys. Quit being weird.
It's a tale old as time, man. You see these guys who found success very quickly, went from being nobodies to being somebodies, and just feeling like they could do anything they wanted. And as young people, they just
morons.
You know what? It's okay if you're young and you mess up. And when I mean young, I mean like in your 20s, 30s, even. It's okay if you mess up. If you can own up to it and make some growth from it, gonna be okay.
Yeah, but try not to mess up in a way that really that adversely affects others' lives around you. Try not to do that.
Please try not to do that. Yeah. But then don't double down. That's what a lot of these guys do, it seems like. It's like they double down. It's like, no.
Yeah. They like their lifestyle of doing whatever they want. You know?
Yeah.
Even if some of the things they want to do are a little skeevy and weird. Speaking of skeevy and weird, let's jump to the 3D realm, you guys. This is when things got real weird. Here's some of that.
There is only one ego for this job, and it's a really big one.
He's talking about Earthworm Jim, but now in 3D. This is the N64 thing. It also was on, let's see, where else would it show up? The Windows, I guess. What an ugly game, Brian. I'm here to tell you.
Yeah, I played this on the N64, and what an ugly game, Scott.
Woo! I mean, there's a lot about the early 3D stuff, and the stream I'm showing you folks at home right now is not even fair, because this is a widescreen version with some mods on the N64 version to make it look better. Yeah. So this is a little higher resolution, a little bit less crappy, but it's so freaking bad. It plays bad. The physics are bad. I don't like this game at all. And it really, really bums me out because there was, again, an opportunity here to get the right talented people involved and make a really rad thing. And they just, it's
our,
bad.
Our transition into 3D was a very painful one. And we lost some beloved characters and IPs along the way. And Earthworm Jim was a casualty for sure. This game was in production hell for like 4 years. At first, the original idea wasn't even what you're looking at right now, which is him in like some kind of chicken coop. That's right. Earthworm Jim has four brains, as earthworms do.
Yeah.
And he's been flattened by a cow, if I remember the story correctly. And he's actually his super ego. He's inside of his brain trying to resolve. He's trying to collect his marbles.
Right.
Puns.
Yeah.
And so he's trying to collect his marbles, and that's what's going on here in the backstory. The original pitch for this, the original story that they were going with, which is closer to what David Perry and those guys really officially first approved and said, yeah, that's good. You guys are doing good. Keep moving what you got, was going to be like Earthworm Jim, like in a Western. Mm-hmm. And that's the reason why I think there's some Western music in this thing. I kept thinking, why have they got Western music in this game? It's weird. But it eventually just, if 4 years of production to hell, they could never quite get out of the door because they had feature creep every time they turned around. The studio's Interplay was asking the developers to also put it on the PlayStation.
Yep.
And put it on here and put it on there. Yep. And it's like, but we can't even get it running on the N64.
Yeah.
Give us a minute. And so it was just one of those things. It got pushed and pushed and pushed, and finally they had to ship it out the door.
Yeah.
And it looks like it plays like a tech demo. Once I understood that, it made sense to me. Once I knew the production history, I was like, yeah, this seems like a tech demo.
It does
like
play. That's a great way of putting it. I didn't even thought about it that way, but having played a bit of it this week, it plays like a tech demo. You're not wrong.
Yeah.
And you could not play it for very long.
You're like, oh, okay. So I see the potential here, but it's nowhere near finished.
No.
Not even
and close. There's some neat ideas, like this one right here. I like this mechanic of you got to get that gerbil to move a little bit on his wheel so that my underwear gets pulled down the line a little bit because he's got to get his underwear back. I mean, there's some stuff in here to maybe salvage, but in a time when Mario 64 existed, Crash Bandicoot to a lesser degree, like there were impressive 3D platforming games that were going to define the next 20 years, really, of 3D platforming, and this they just couldn't do it.
No, there was a lot of wide open spaces and just repetitive gameplay. And it suffered from all the things that all other early 3D games did, just like Mario 64. You know, the camera was a problem. The characters always getting in the way of the camera. Same thing here. You had all those typical problems you was having with early 3D, but you also had a rushed product. And like I said, there was moments where I was like, oh, okay, I see where they were going here. Mm-hmm. This is kind of neat, and I'm enjoying seeing Earthworm Jim in 3D, even if his little helicopter thing he does, like when he flies in, like in the first Earthworm Jim, he's not using a snot. He used snot in the second one, but here he's got to fly with his little whip,
his whirly whip,
and it's just so short and stubby. And I'm like, oh, that's disappointing.
Yeah. It's not good for the character's overall like vibe. Everything about this game is really disappointing. Although he does, his final nemesis in this game is called Earthworm Kim. Which I'm going to tell my wife about later and say, hey,
yeah,
you know what?
This had some really great, this whole series had some great, great moments as well. I liked a lot of the bosses, the boss fights and stuff. They were always, you know, Psycro, your main antagonist through most of the first and second game. But you also have we talked earlier about Peter Puppy and, Earthworm Jim 2. That puppy love thing that goes in between each is like every so many levels, mm-hmm. you got to like catch the puppy on mm-hmm. like a marshmallow and bounce him. And if you don't, then he turns rabid.
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh, that was just, I played a little bit of that and I was just so done with that part. I just kind of skipped through it. I'm like,
you have to fast forward that if you can. Yeah. If you're
I was playing on RetroArch, so I had some cheats that I ran on a couple of those.
That's the only way to do it.
But not for I got my retro achievements.
Oh, good.
.org, by the way.
Good for you.
I didn't turn cheats on until after they turn off hardcore mode after that, and I'm like, okay, I'm gonna cheat a little bit.
All right. Well, would you be surprised to hear me say one of the better versions of the game is a little Game Boy Color game called Earthworm Jim Menace to the Galaxy?
Yeah, it almost doesn't seem canon, but it is. It's fun. It's Crave Entertainment, right?
Yeah, makes good platformers, and this is an attempt to bring some of that back. It's a little more straight platformy, though. Like,
yeah,
here we are doing Mario type shit. It sounded a little like this. Kind of what you expect from a game like this, right? This is a Game Boy after all. But he's just jumping around the city or the various environments, collecting, what are those, donuts? This is the one I didn't play.
Coins, I think, and you have to deposit them in the toilet. I forget exactly the theme. This is probably the least Earthworm Jimmy of all the Earthworm Jims. Essentially, you're Earthworm Jim in a city, and you're collecting stuff and platforming.
It's just
in a basic
way. Sure. I like it and I haven't played it in years, okay? I didn't play it this week. I meant to, but... what I liked about it was it seemed to push the limits of your typical Game Boy Color. It looked real good.
Yeah,
did look good. And it was a competent side-scrolling, tiny screen platformer.
Yeah.
It got the job done.
If you're looking for a platformer, this is not bad. If you're looking for Earthworm Jim, you might be a little disappointed.
Yeah. It's still better than the GBA port, though. Better than that.
Oh, God. Everything's better in those things.
It's a horrible... I don't know who the company is that did those, but everything they ever
ported. There was one that was like... one was a Dutch company, I think, and one was a Russian company. They both were pushed for time and because the ports had to be out very quickly. And I'm like, why? This is a great IP, and this is a great platform. Interplay, what are you doing?
Yeah.
Stop it.
Yeah, stop it. What's up with you? What's wrong with you, Interplay? Well, now we know what's wrong with them. They were putting out garbage and went away as a result. They're gone.
Yeah, they're gone now.
Poof. How could you go from one of like the biggest publishers of the era to nothing? How do you do that?
Bad decisions.
I guess so, man.
A lot of bad decisions.
And I know they weren't alone. There were others like that. I'm trying to think like Acclaim, Midway. Can't think of others. Oh, THQ is a famous one, a little more recent, but
at least
THQ spawned THQ Nordic, which bought a bunch of that IP and is done right by it.
Yes.
So it can be done. What is, I don't know, man. I know I'm not in this business other than a person to commentate on it, but there are times where I'm just blown away by the stupidity of it.
Yeah. It's, I guess a lot of it's just, is big dreams meets the reality of public interest in finances. It's tough.
Yep.
It's a tough business, man.
Good way of putting it. Anyway, that is Earthworm Jim Menace to the Galaxy, Menace to Society. So enjoy.
Yeah, the Menace to the Galaxy. And they put the two in that so that they could indicate that there was a Game Boy and Game Boy Color Earthworm Jim release, which was Which one was it that they released on that? It might have been, maybe the first one.
Well, the original Game Boy game had, or there was a Game Boy black and white Game Boy game just called Earthworm Jim, I think, right?
Yeah. So I guess that's kind of what they were trying to be clever.
That one was also okay. There was nothing too wrong with that.
No.
But if you wanted
that
some
color.
That
was fine, but Game Boy Advance, like me and Scott agree with that, though. It's just like,
No, they screwed up, dude, because honestly, that machine is home to some of the greatest remaster reissues of all time.
We know what that machine is capable of. We've seen it.
No excuse for what they did.
None.
We saw what they did to Kirby, one of the most brilliant pay-it-forward Kirby experiences of all time. You couldn't do Earthworm Jim? Give me a freaking break. That's 10 years.
Give me a break.
Give me a break. I surely deserve it. I finally made it to the top. All right. That is it for our Earthworm Jim coverage. And if you've got your own thoughts, feelings, stories about all that, let us know. 801-471-0462.
There's a new cartoon coming out.
Oh, there is? What? Really?
Yeah. There's been trailers anyway. It's pretty funny.
Hold on.
Yeah.
I need to know more about this. There's a trailer.
There's like a bunch of teaser trailers on YouTube between. It's kind of one of those things coming soon, but everything with the COVIDs. I don't know if that kind of put a break on it or if Earthworm Jim is trying to, surface again, but he's just not able to to tie it.
They're going like with this 2.5D bit. This looks great.
Yeah. It looks like a lot of fun. It It'd make great commercials if nothing else. I like
you know what? Get that going. I'd watch this.
I would totally watch this.
Yeah, look at this. Up. And also that would that tells you what they could pull off in a modern game engine right here. Like,
yeah,
man.
And wrestle that freaking IP from the freaking Intellivision.
Yeah, get that on. Get that done. Intellivision. They shouldn't own anything but Intellivision.
Right.
Here's what they should own. They should own.
They're gonna.
They should own all things Intellivision and dumb game pads that are shaped like phones with dials on them. That's what they should do. That's it.
They had these dreams of becoming they want to bring, but no, it's past. The time is past. No one is interested. It's just let it go, man. It's time to just let it go.
We all lose.
Yeah.
Hold on a second. Is there an update on this? No, it's still. No, I guess it's still in limbo. Whatever's going on with that, we don't know.
Right.
I want that to be great. Now I'm annoyed.
I do too.
I'm even more annoyed now that this exists because I don't see it. It's not done. Oh, let's talk about Factor. I like Factor quite a bit. And I think you might like Factor also. All right. So let me tell you about Factor. Are you too busy to cook? Well, with Factor, skip the trip to the grocery store and skip the chopping, the prepping, the cleaning up. Factor Fresh, never frozen meals are ready to heat and eat. Just 2 minutes. All you have to do is heat those things up and enjoy them. Get America's number one ready-to-eat meal kit and start saving time, eating well, and living your best year ever. In fact, we can go right now. Factormeals.com/retro50 and use the code retro50 to get 50% off your box. It's really that simple, and it doesn't matter what your lifestyle is. Factor has delicious, flavor-packed meals, you know, to help you get the fullest out of your keto, your calorie smart, your vegan and veggie world, whatever it is you're doing. Are you doing Protein Plus? Oh, good. Those options are part of the menu as well. They're all prepared by chefs and approved by dietitians. Each meal has all the ingredients you need to feel satisfied all day long. With 34 chef-prepared, dietitian-approved weekly options, there's always something new to try. Plus, you can round out your meal and replenish your snack supply with an assortment of 36-plus sweets, smoothies, juices, and more satisfying add-ons. The smoothies are particularly good. Get Factor and enjoy clean eating without any of the hassle. Simply choose your meals and enjoy fresh, flavor-packed meals delivered straight to your door. Ready in 2 minutes. No prep, no mess. Achieve and maintain your 2023 goals with Factor. Head to factormeals.com/retro50 and use the code retro50 to get 50% off your first box. That's code retro50 at factormeals.com/retro50 to get 50% off your first box. All right, that's it for that. Now we're going to play a game.
Destroy it.
Time to play Guess My Game. Yes, that's right. Where you play audio from an old-ass game, and we try to guess what each other brought to the table. Today, I will begin with one. Here are your details. This is the Sega Genesis version of the game. I will say it appeared elsewhere, but I'll start with that. 1993 is the release date, and that's all you're going to get for now.
1993 on the Sega Genesis. It made it to there was ports later, but this is where we're starting.
This is where we're starting. It may have been somewhat simultaneous on the SNES, but I don't know.
It may have been simultaneous ports. It doesn't tell me anything. All right, play me some audio.
Here we go.
Sounds familiar.
Kick it.
Oh, I know what this is. What is this?
I know, I love the music, though. It's one of my favorite games of that time. That amazing soundtrack, so good.
It is. What is I played this.
Let me give you another hint. This was... Oh, speaking of Interplay, this was published by Interplay back then. Oh. I'll give you another hint. It was programmed by Silicon and Synapse.
Oh.
Do you need any more
hints?
I know
what this is. It's a Bucky O'Hare?
No, it is not Bucky O'Hare. Is that your answer?
No, but for some reason, that's all I can see in my mind for some reason. Why is that? That's
I don't know.
Weird.
I don't know. That is weird, I would say.
Even though I know that's not right.
Well, it is. Okay, I'll give you one more hint. The characters from this game, three right. of them, there are three characters in this game.
Okay, Genesis.
They appear in a modern game today that the same company currently has on the market. So you can choose these characters. It's not the same game, but these characters appear in a modern game.
Interesting. Is it?
And you can also, I'll say this.
Three of them?
I'll say this. This company I'm referring to has a compilation of all their classic games now that you can go buy as a complete package on PC
and characters.
Console. Yes, this game has three consoles.
Is it Battletoads?
Incorrect. Do you give up?
Yeah, give it to me.
The answer is Lost Vikings. The Lost
Vikings.
That game is great.
Let me take a look at this.
Formerly Silicon and Synapse, also today known as Blizzard Entertainment.
I should have known it when you said that. That's, of course.
Yep, that's them.
Of course. That was Blizzard. I always think of that as Blizzard, but it wasn't Blizzard yet.
It wasn't them yet. Nope, they just changed their name not long after that. But Interplay, which at the time they also did Rock and Roll Racing. Interplay also published that.
Yes.
All that stuff is tied up in Interplay Publishing, but they own the rights to it all, so their compilation they have now is...
I played the crap out of this. That's the reason why it sounded familiar.
Dude, I love Lost Vikings. One and two, both great games. So
really
good. All right, well, let's see if you can stump me.
Did I play this on the PC, though? I don't think I ever played this on the Genesis. I think I played this one.
Well, it definitely came to other stuff, so you know.
Yeah.
You probably played it. I played it on Genesis for the first one. Second one, I think I played on maybe a PC. Oh, my gosh, I don't remember. It was a long time ago. And I think the second one published under the name Blizzard, I think.
Oh.
Oh, and by the way, the Vikings, what I was saying is in one of their modern games, if you play Heroes of the Storm, you can be any
Heroes
of the three
of
Vikings.
The
well, I shouldn't say, I kind of cheated. You can't choose one of the three Vikings. You are all three of the Vikings.
I would have never guessed anyway, so it doesn't matter.
Yeah, it doesn't matter.
You win.
Yeah, but
right.
it's a pretty unique mechanic in the game. You're kind of controlling all three. All right, there's that. Hey, what? Tell me your hints here for yours, will you?
Also, we must have been feeling the Genesis vibe this week. I was a few years before that. 1991, the Sega Genesis.
Ooh.
Yeah.
So right around the same era. Might have been playing them at the same time-ish. Let's see what we got here. I like it. I actually love this.
Yeah, I love this. So good.
I don't know what it is, though. More hint. Give me some genre.
More hint.
Yeah.
Developers.
Yeah.
Rare.
Oh, Rare made this.
Yeah. I think they made the Genesis one. Let me double check. Let me show you. I think that's what they made the Genesis one. Is that right?
Well, Rare was doing mostly Nintendo stuff then, but it doesn't mean they didn't.
Yeah. That might have been the one I'm thinking of. Did all of them? Maybe did.
I don't know what this is.
Give maybe me, this is a port. Then
give me a genre hint. Like what are we doing in the game ish?
Let's see. What if I told you there were three characters?
Shut up! Really? Are there really?
Yeah.
Are we that close on our thing this week with three characters?
Yeah,
three
both characters.
Genesis
yeah,
games,
yeah.
2 years apart. Three characters.
There was a crossover they did with the Double Dragon series.
The Double Dragon TV series or the Double Dragon game series?
Game series.
It's not River City Ransom, is it?
Oh, that's a good guess.
Not it?
No.
Okay, give me another one.
Also, they did a reboot not that long ago that you could play on the Xbox thing there, the Game Pass.
Oh.
That's how I played it.
Oh. Is this Battletoads?
It's Battletoads.
Oh, it is Battletoads. You know why I didn't say it earlier? It's because you had already guessed it for mine, and I thought, well, he's not going to say that because he... So I could have done that because I knew that was a rare joint. Okay. I didn't know they... So they... I always forget that Battletoads is theirs, to be honest.
Yeah, I do too.
What cool music, though.
I love Battletoads music. I almost unapologetically like Battletoads. Almost unapologetically. I will apologize a little bit for liking it, but not much.
Yeah, no, I feel you. Yeah. By the way, I would give... So this is me this week. This is you. All right, moving on.
And we have an update too. We got a update on our. Did you see the document for
what happened there? What'd you do?
Yeah.
What'd you
oh no, I didn't do it. Our pal is it? Why can't I pull it up? We have an individual in the audience, and I can't remember their name right now.
Is we just know they're individual. Right? We know they're one person.
They're individual, and they've been doing the Lord's work, and I can't log into my Gmail account right now to look up their name. He's been tracking our goodness, our guesses.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And he updated the document.
Oh, no way. I want to see this. Yeah. Where's the link? Did you put something in the thing here?
It's just in the Play Retro, Gmail account.
Oh, not in our notes here. Okay.
No. I meant to put it in our notes and then I realized I'm not logged in.
Well, you're a slacker ass and it's fine.
I know. What am I going to do?
Totally fine. Okay, here it is. Let's see. Updated guesses. Here it is. I'm looking. This is, by the way, sorry, I had his name. There it is. Stan K.
Stan.
We'll call him Stan K. Yeah. Stan K is Stank.
Stank.
I wonder if he's got that, if he has a nickname. All right. Oh my gosh. He has every single one of these.
Yes. Well, doing the Lord's work.
Since episode one, I guess.
Yeah.
Oh, this is great. Dude, this is great. I love people that keep track of data that I don't think is important.
Yeah.
Because now I do. Now I think it's important. Did I do Blackthorn? I did. I almost picked that again. Whoops. Have I doubled anything? Oops. Let's see. I don't think I doubled anything. I think so far we've both been unique with our picks.
Yeah, we have. And I used that today. I was like, oh, Battletoads. I'm like, oh, did we do Battletoads? I think we did Battletoads. I'm like, no, we didn't.
We need to get
Bommy if he's not doing enough work with quicksack.li and different things and all the other crap he does for us. We need to get him to access this database.
If there was one we'd already done, it would be Battletoads for some reason.
Yeah. And I thought, I'm like, oh, we probably did that one. Like, no, we did do it.
Okay. Yeah, this is great.
I'm using it this week.
Very cool indeed. All right. Well, thank you for that, Stank. We're going to call you that.
Stank.
Stank. Stank. You did a good job. All right. Time for some of this business.
Welcome to the treasure room.
Y'all, we got emails and texts and stuff. All right. So just sit back and relax. By the way, you can send us voicemails. I keep forgetting to mention this on this show, but if you want to send us a voicemail, you use the same number as you leave texts for us, but you just leave a voicemail. Super simple. 801-471-0462. You can also text us there, of course, and playretroshow@gmail.com, wherein we got an email from Paul from the UK, who says, hold on, I'm choking over here. Hey, Scott and Brian. Really love the show, so thank you both for the tips. Oh. Trips, rather, down memory lane you promote. Mm. Well, thank you. Would you ever cover the Wing Commander series? Love the original on the SNES and then parts 3 and 4 with full acting cast with Luke Skywalker, Gimli, and Biff Tannen. I love that these use you are a person of my mind where you use character names instead of the actors. I do that all the time. I love it. from stuff that isn't this, right? You have to pull it from other things. I absolutely love that. Anyway, would love to hear you guys' thoughts and experiences. Thanks for everything you do, Paul from the UK. Well, Paul, I think we owe some time to Wing Commander for sure.
I think it's a no-brainer. Yeah, I think it won't be this next week, but it may be soon.
My first Wing Commander game was the 3DO game.
Oh, really?
Yeah, prior to that, I didn't play any of that stuff. So for me, this would be a really good dip into the really ancient
business. I have never had any experience with a 3DO. No friend,
nothing.
No relative, no store, nobody anywhere near me has ever introduced me to a 3DO.
I bought a 3DO because of Road Rash. That was the reason.
Yeah, it's a good reason.
Road Rash on 3DO, I thought, anyway, it was really cool. It had an awesome soundtrack, had like all these grunge bands. Who did Chris Cornell sing for? My brain just went dead.
Well, he sang for a couple of people, but Soundgarden
is who I'm thinking of. It was full of Soundgarden, so Break This Rusty Cage, all that stuff.
Yeah. Break this rusty cage
and Spoon Man and all that. They played that during that great, amazing game. Anyway, I bought it for that, FIFA, and what was the other hot deal? Oh, the 3DO game. I talk about it on the show all the time, and I forgot it. Did we even cover it? We may have. The one where and you're like tanks and ships and helicopters and stuff. Something attack or whatever it was. I love those games, but this 3DO was doomed. It was doomed, but I had one.
It never stood a chance.
I traded it to a friend for something cool. I can't remember what it was. By the time it kind of run its course, he was like, "Oh, right. I'll trade you." And I traded him for something. Don't remember what it was. Anyway, yeah, we should do that. Let's do some Wing Commander business in the future. We also got a couple of texts. This one came to us from, let's see, does he have a name? He may not. It says, "Hi, Scott and Brian." He spelled your name with a Y. Is that offensive? Or
sweet.
How do you feel?
No at all. I love it. Okay. That way he'll never accidentally spell my name, Brain.
That's right. You'll never be Brain.
I've never seen anybody spell Brain with a Y, so perfect.
Yeah. Some people call me Snot. Just kidding.
Snot.
Says, "I love the show, and I don't even game anymore, but I love hearing about the games of my childhood. Just sending a text because our phone numbers are so similar." He must be in 801 time zone. He says, then he leaves this with this joke, which is what I really wanted to share. Says, "Why doesn't Pac-Man use Twitter? He doesn't like being followed." Get it?
Always feel like somebody's telling dad jokes. Love it.
That's pretty great. Thank you for that. Yeah. We got one more from Tyler in Boise, Idaho, who says, "Hey, guys, I just listened to the Aliens episodes of Play Retro and was reminded of an arcade game called Xenophobe." Oh, you don't have to remind me. I love Xenophobe.
That was great.
The baddies in that game were definitely inspired by the Xenomorphs. The player characters looked like Star Trek characters. Look it up. I spent a lot of quarters in that weird game. Please keep up the great work. And I really enjoy the show, Tyler. Yeah, dude, that game ate a bunch of my quarters back in the day. I also found it legitimately scary for the time. I mean, now I'd laugh.
And I almost mentioned it during our Aliens coverage, but there's got to be another way to attack that one. That's a good one.
Yeah, maybe it's the same. So Konami, it was a Konami developer, it may have been Konami directly, but it was somebody who did a lot of Konami published stuff. And they did that in the arcade for Konami. They also did, what was the basketball one? They had the same art style. The characters looked exactly the same. And it was kind of arcadey, two-on-two kind of thing.
Not NBA Jams, right?
No, it's like that, though. It may have predated Jam.
Oh, okay.
What's it called? I can picture the cover.
One-on-one. It was... basketball. It was just called basketball.
It wasn't. It was definitely not just called basketball. Hold on. Okay, here's how we find out. We search. We find.
Don't you miss simple rap songs like they're playing basketball. So basic, baby.
Oh, there it is. Arch Rivals. Remember that?
Oh yes, Arch Rivals. I know what you're talking about now.
Yeah, absolutely. Those character designs identical to the dudes that were in Xeno.
These like Mad Magazine characters. I love that cover art. That is fantastic.
It's really good. Anyway, we should probably talk about that at some point.
That's a good angle. I like that.
Thank you, Tyler from Boise.
Yeah, they had to have like Mad Magazine illustrator do that cover art for that Arch Rivals.
I mean,
that
it looks like it, right?
As some cracked / Mad Magazine artwork I've ever seen any.
It might be. Do you remember the NES game from Atari called Basket Brawl? Do you remember that?
I actually do remember Basket Brawl. What a weird thing.
It is weird. I've tried to think how we should tackle more sports stuff. Maybe we do an obscure, the arcadiest of basketball games or something and jams in there with it. And
I think that's a great idea. Yeah. I think we should definitely do. That was one of the things I thought about. I was like, sports games that are only kind of sports related. Because I was thinking about like Mario Tennis and those kind of things.
I love those. Pretty stoked. But I love, I like the arcadification of sports. I'm a big fan.
Yes.
Those are the ones I seek out. All right. Well, thank you guys for those messages. Again, email is playretroshow@gmail.com. Texts and voicemails are 801-471-0462. Mm-hmm. Let's talk about our next discussion, which will be R-rated action star power on the NES. What is that you say? Brian, explain, because I thought this was brilliant. I can't wait.
Absolutely. So I was doing some, a coffee scroll had suggested to me, said, hey, you know what? You got to do some movie related NES games. And I was like, okay, I took a look. There's like 40. And I was like, okay. So I was like, how can I pare this down to something we can actually manage? And I found something that seemed odd. There are tons of R-rated action movies that have been converted into NES games, which seems like a conflict. It doesn't seem like that's right. So we're going to be looking at
it. Seems counter to Nintendo's content requirements at the time. It seems
absolutely counterintuitive, but
yeah.
Just so happens I was able to narrow it down even further with my filter because I was like, how about big name action star power,
ooh,
like Total Recall, the ooh, Terminator, we got Arnold Schwarzenegger in those, Rambo and Cliffhanger, got some Stallone action, and then Hudson Hawk and Die Hard. Those are all games, Bruce Willis, those are all games that are based on R-rated action movies.
Yeah,
I think this is going to be an interesting way to see if any of these things were even faithful at all. Yeah. Will Bruce Willis cut his feet? Will I have to avoid cutting my feet in the NES version of the game? Will I have to say yippee-ki-yay?
I think you do.
Mother Fungies.
I'm pretty sure you do have to cut your feet in that game.
I think.
Didn't we just see this on something? Didn't we just talk? Or no? For some reason, I know this.
I don't know.
For some reason, I watch this and know this right now. I don't know why I know this. Anyway, Terminator in particular, I thought was a rad game. All of those. And Total Recall, also good. Is RoboCop on here? We should put RoboCop on there.
I was going to put RoboCop, and I was like, he didn't quite fit in my filter, but we'll give RoboCop and a couple other R-rated movies like that and The Untouchables. We'll give those just to mention.
I cannot believe RoboCop got its own kids cartoon. I just can't believe it.
Yeah. I want to do a RoboCop. Reason why I didn't want to put RoboCop in here is I really want to do a whole RoboCop show.
We can do that. Let's RoboCop. Do it. Let's do that. We'll save it for the its own show. Yeah.
Yeah.
Why not?
Enough there.
Drop your weapon. Upper Murphy, all that stuff. Upper
Murphy.
That's going to do it for us. Thank you all for listening. And listen, come back next week and enjoy us live. Yeah, live. You heard me right. We show video from these games that we talk about. There's a lot of visual elements that you don't get if you're listening purely at home. Nothing wrong with that. But hey, if you want a little bit more, come join us live. We do that on Tuesday nights, 3:30 Mountain Time. That's 5:30 Pacific. All right. Or no, Eastern. What time is it Pacific? 1:30. No, 2:30. 2:30 Pacific, 3:30 Mountain, 5:30 Eastern. Central,
you did it.
Central, you know what you are. You already know what Central is, so I don't have to tell you. All right?
Yeah.
Anyway, that'll do it for us. Thanks for listening. Go review us wherever you can. And also join us on Patreon, patreon.com/playretro. I'd like to thank longtime patron Bjorn Muller.
Bjorn, as you know, who that is Bjorn Muller. Yes.
Yeah. Do we? I don't know. Do I know him?
Yeah.
How do I know him? Do I know him as a different name? Mm-hmm. I might.
Just let's think about it.
All right. I'll think about it. But I like Bjorn, and I'm glad that he's there because he knows the value of never getting commercials, pre-show content every single time we do a show. Other benefits. Bombats. Who? What? When? What?
It's Bombats.
Oh, is that Bombats? I know Bombats. I didn't know that was his name though. Is he Swedish?
Let's not dox him.
Let's dox him. Let's tell everyone right where he lives. Anyway, he's awesome, and you should all be like him and go sign up. That's patreon.com/playretro. That's going to do it for us, for me, for Brian, for all of you. Go play something retro, and we'll see you next week.
This show is part of the Frog Pants Network. Yes. Get more at frogpants.com.
This Mother's Day, treat mom to healthy, glowing skin with Osea's limited edition skincare sets. Osea has been making clean, seaweed-infused products for nearly 30 years. Their advanced eye care duo brightens and firms skin around your eyes, while the Golden Glow Body Trio nourishes and smooths skin all over. Go to OSEAMalibu.com and use code MOM for 10% off your first order site-wide.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Hi, I'm Ando.
And I'm Fer.
And we host Niñas Bien Podcasts. want to invite you to listen to our show.
Niñas Bien means good girls in Spanish, but you have to know that this is not a podcast for good girls.
Or for girls at all. It is a comedy podcast, so everyone is welcome to listen.
We talk about sex, relationships, technology.
We recommend movies and TV shows and discuss pop culture in general.
And there is Chisme Ajeno too.
A section we have just to gossip about everyone. So you'll find something you like here.
And you'll practice your Spanish.
The cleanest Spanish you'll find, we promise.
And if you already hablas español,
vamos a ser tus nuevas amigas. We'll be your friends for the non-Spanish speakers.
New episodes every Monday and Thursday.
Hosted by Acast and available to all audio platforms.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.